will be in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Mark 2, verse 1. Praise God. Mark 2, verse 1. The Lord tells us here, He says, when He returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that He was at home. So many gathered around that were no longer room for them. Excuse me, that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And He was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to Him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the scribes were sitting. They were sitting there questioning in their hearts, Why does this fellow speak this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? At once Jesus perceived in His spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And He said to them, Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Stand up, take your mat, and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, He said to the paralytic, I say to you, Stand up, take your mat, and go to your home. He stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We have never seen anything like this. Amen. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to heed it, Lord, and hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against thee, Lord, that we may be holy and righteous before you by your precious blood. Thank you, Father. Help us and guide us all the way, and give me the words to preach this morning, and give us all hearts open to you every day. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. We come here to this wonderful story in God's Word in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Mark. Again, in verse 1, it says, when He returned to Capernaum after Jesus was returning, after some days, it says, it was reported that He was at home. Praise God. In verse 2, so many, when they heard the news about Jesus being around, many gathered around that there was no longer room for them. Glory to God. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to go be with Him. They wanted to listen to Him, what He had to say. Oh, what good it would do for us, for the people around here, for all around to go to Jesus every day. Go to Him with our burdens. Go to Him with everything in our hearts every day. Seek Him. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them. Praise God. What a glorious event. Not even in the front of the door. They couldn't even get in the front door of the place. For all the people that was seeking to see the Lord, and He was speaking the word to them. He'll give us the word of God. We've got the word of God right here. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, we've got this wonderful book. It's amazing. So many times people say that life don't come with an instruction book, but praise God it does. It's the word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Oh, it can pierce us all the way. It can give us what we need for righteousness. It can give us what we need to be closer to God. It's His very word spoken by Him. It's every word spoken by God, every bit of it. The Bible tells us this is true, and it is always profitable. It is God-breathed. He Himself breathed it to us. This is what Jesus was speaking to them. He was the Word made flesh, and He was speaking the written Word. He was speaking the Word to them, and they were listening. We ought to be listening to the Word of God when Jesus is speaking it to us. How many times has the Word of God sat closed when it could have been open, when we could be hearing a Word from the Lord? Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. He said, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. He was speaking the word to them. Let's listen to His word every day. Let's listen to what He has to say to us. These folks was doing that, and glory to God for that. In verse 3, then some people came, bringing to Him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. This poor feller, he was paralyzed, couldn't walk. Praise God, he had some friends that was taking him to Jesus. They cared enough about him. They loved him enough to go and get him help. They loved him enough when he was in his need to take him to the one that could supply his need. That's Jesus. I can't supply your need. No one can supply our need but Jesus Christ, the Lord, God Almighty, can supply our spiritual needs, our physical, our mental. He's who we need every day. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. But through Him, we are children of God. We're born again to the family of God. We need Him desperately every day. Some of the people came, it says, bringing to Him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Praise God for that. In verse 4, and when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. Oh, see, they didn't just throw their hands up and say, well, I reckon that's all we can do there. Let's go on back home. No, it says they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay, that paralyzed feller. Back then, they'd build them flat roofs. And they just made out of mud. They'd take the support beams and pack clay and mud in there. And then they'd get some more to make it a little stronger, some more twigs and sticks in there. So what they did there, it says they carried by four of them. They removed the roof above him. They climbed up on the roof. Typically in those days, you had stairs that went up to your roof. So you could go up there for different things. He says here, they removed the roof above him. They cut it out. That probably wasn't the easiest task in the world, but they cared enough about their friend to get him to Jesus. They cared enough about him to go through the effort to lead them to the Lord. He says here, bringing him the paralyzed man, they couldn't bring him, so they dug out the roof above him, and having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. They let down it right into Jesus. They saw Jesus. They had a problem to get there, and they kept on seeking him. They kept on going till they got their friend to him. How many of us have somebody in our lives that we know needs Jesus? Well, I know I got several of them. I got several people that need the Lord in their life. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus can save them, but we are the hands and feet of Jesus here down here. We need to be about the Father's business in our lives. How many people do we know that's lost, that's on the path to hell, that's an eternal hell that Jesus shed the blood of Calvary to save them from, to save us all from? How many people do we know that need Jesus desperately? This man needed Jesus desperately. He's paralyzed. Spiritually, there's so many paralyzed. Can't walk for the Lord. Don't know the Lord because they must be born again. We need to do what we can to bring them to Him. He says they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. This paralyzed man, they let it down so that they could be with Jesus. In verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, praise God, He saw their faith. They had faith in Him. They believed Him. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we got enough faith in the Lord to lead others to Him? Do we love them enough to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Praise God, He forgave his sins. He'll forgive anyone's sins who will call upon Him. And we are the children of God. We're the church of the living God, the bride of Christ, the Revelation tells us. We ought to be about the Father's business first and foremost. What is our first duty as Christians down here below? John Wesley said it wonderfully. He said, your business on earth is to save souls. We ought to be about the Father's business, His ways, His truth, and His word. Lord, help us to do that. They cared enough. Even when it was a little difficult, they still sought that person out to try to lead them to the Lord, to take them to Jesus. We ought to do that very same thing. We may not have to dig through a roof sometime. It may be mighty hard with shingles, but it's possible. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to do spiritually, lead those to the Lord, everyone around us. He says here, when Jesus saw their faith, it's by faith we're made whole. It's by faith, it says, we're saved by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again. Our name is penned in the Lamb's book of life. And praise God, if we keep our faith in Him, it won't be blotted out. When Jesus saw their faith, your faith has made you whole. Over and over, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you. Jesus saw their faith. And He said to the paralytic, sons, your sins are forgiven. Faith, we talk a lot about faith. It's putting our trust in God. It's loving Him more than anything else. Putting our true faith in Him. It's not just some mere feeling. It's not just a warm, fuzzy time. Sometimes you can have a good cry at the altar, and that's good. But true faith is beyond all that. Faith is truly trusting the Lord. No matter what's going on in our life, we'll put our faith in Him. Jesus saw that they had their faith. Faith is well-founded. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Praise God. He's a son. He's a child of God. We're children of God. When we're saved, we're born again into His family. Don't matter if you got any family down here below. You may not have an earthly father or mother or anybody down here below that's kin to you, but praise God, we've got Jesus. We got God, our Heavenly Father. Son, your sins are forgiven. He'll forgive us our sins and trespasses. As we just read in 1 John, if we'll confess it to Him, if we'll put our faith in Him, what is confession? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, that He rose again from the dead, that you believe Him, that you put your faith in Him. Confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. Believe it that Jesus is who He is. Son, your sins are forgiven. We become children of God. He's a child then, child of God. Verse 6, now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts. Notice here who it was questioning in their hearts. It's the saddest thing. These are the scribes. As we said before, a scribe, what was their job was to pen the Word of God. They'd memorize it. Some of them had the entire first five books of the Bible memorized. But yet, Word of God went right over their head so many times. What a sad thing. We need to not only have the knowledge of the Word of God, that's vital. We need to know the Lord first and foremost. We need to be His children so that we can glean from His Word, that we can feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ and the Word of God. He says here the sad thing. Now some of the scribes, their very job was to copy, study the Word of God. They were sitting there questioning, where at? In their hearts first. They're questioning right here in their hearts. They didn't truly have faith in Him. They didn't put their faith in God. They could know all about it. They could quote the right theology. But they didn't really know Him in the heart. That's the first and foremost thing. You got to know Jesus. We can know all about Him, but we got to know who He is. Oh, the devil, he knows a great bit about the Lord. So does all the legions of hell and Satan. They know all about the Lord. But they're not saved. They're not part of Him. They'll be cast into the fiery pit someday, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. We got to truly know the Lord. You can know who Jesus was. You can know who He is. But do you truly know Him as your Savior? Do you truly know Him? Is He your best friend? Or is He some estranged acquaintance that you heard about sometimes? Son, he said, oh, praise God, He was a son of God. He's a child of God. Son, your sins are forgiven. They were questioning in their hearts. It says, why does this fellow speak this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Oh, there's only one way God forgave sins of the whole entire world. That was by the blood of Jesus. He made atonement. He was the atoning sacrifice for the sins of not only us, as we just read, but for the sins of the whole world, everybody. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way of salvation. That's by the blood of Jesus. It's by putting your faith in Jesus. Jesus, He said, I am the door. He's the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's how God forgives sins, through Jesus. But yet, once again, they miss it. They missed it. At once, Jesus perceived in His spirit. You can't hide from the Lord. You can't hide the thoughts of your heart. And the imagination, you know, the Bible says that we need to be renewed in our minds. We need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our spirits, everything in us needs to be focused on the Lord and loving Him and serving Him. Everything in our hearts and minds. He says we need to renew our minds. He says here we need to be changed. He wants to change us and transform us by His way and His word. Not as the stiff-necked Israelites, but as His people, His children. He says here, at once He perceived in His spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. He perceived in His spirit, you can't hide from the Lord the thoughts of your heart. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. He knows you. You can lie to Him, but He already knows the truth. You know, if we read the book of Acts, there's people that lied to the Holy Spirit. What happened? They were struck down. God killed them instantly in the church. Instantly, because they lied to the Lord. Don't lie to the Lord. The book of Acts was some powerful things. To whom much is given, much is required. Why is it the church is so anemic so often in the United States and around the world? Why is it? It's because we become fat and calves, as the Bible told the children of Israel. So often God's people are not truly seeking Him. We're not about the saving souls around us. We need to be focused on the Lord, God Almighty. What a wonderful, wonderful luxury we have. Praise God. We got this Bible right here, the Word of God to teach us. I'm looking back there at that old pew back there, and there's Bibles stacked there. There's Bibles everywhere in this country. Glory to God. Are they being read? Read the Word of God. Follow the Word of God. Study it. Let the Word of God get in us as we get in it, and we'll be changed. Oh, and God can spark a revival so great, just as He's done times before. What's the difference? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. The difference is us. Are we willing to truly serve the Lord and seek Him with all our hearts? Are we truly willing to give up everything, put it aside, and serve the Lord first? We're going to serve the Lord wherever we go. We're going to serve Him at home. We're going to serve Him at work. We're going to serve Him going to and fro from work. Are we going to serve Him while we're laying down for bed, when we're getting up in the morning? What's the first thing? What's your life centered on? What's our life centered on? World's fighting for your distractions. Oh, the devil, he's got a long list of distractions he'll give us. But God knows in our hearts, what's the first thing in your heart? When you wake up, what's the first thing? It needs to be the Lord first. It needs to be His Word first. We have such a luxury here. Let us not lay it aside and be slothful for the Lord. But let's work while we got the sunshine before the dark day of the Lord comes and time will be no more. He says here, why does this fellow speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? At once Jesus perceived in His spirit. Oh, He knew. It was by the Holy Ghost He knew. It's by the Holy Ghost we know Him, we can pray to Him. He knew by His spirit. That's the spirit that rose from the dead. You know, the Bible tells us Jesus didn't rise from the dead on His own power. It was by the Holy Spirit that rose Him. It says in the Bible that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. That's the Holy Spirit of the living God. He perceived in this Spirit. He perceiving things around us. You know, we too perceive by the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So just live in the Spirit, the Bible tells us. Over and over again, He bids us live in the Spirit. This is the Spirit that we're to live by, the Holy Spirit. He's not just any old Spirit. There's a lot of spirits. You know, Cleveland down there, they voted several years ago to nickname the city with spirit. They really need to put an S on that thing and make it the city with spirits, because there's devil spirits roaming all around the place. But I can guarantee you so often it's not the Holy Spirit people seeking. We need to be seeking the Holy Spirit, not all the spirits of the wickedness and principalities of darkness that's running around in this world like a roaring lion. We need to be living by the Holy Spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit for a reason. In Revelation, it tells us in the throne room of God, they're saying, holy, holy, holy is He. He's holy. Lord, help us to be holy. How is it? Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy word is truth. We got to be sanctified by the truth. Pontius Pilate looked at Jesus and said, what is truth? He was looking at truth. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. And we have the written Word of God right now. That's how we're sanctified. We're made holy by faith in Him. Faith working in love through the Word. We don't have orders to do. What kind of laborers are we? We got our orders in the Word of God. We've got our trust of the Lord to show us the way. Lord, help us to do that. He sees in our hearts. He sees what we're doing to and fro. What's first in your life? Is it Jesus or something else? To lead these other people to Jesus, we got to first believe and have faith in Him that He really can change anybody. He really can redeem anybody. Nobody's unredeemable in this whole world because Jesus died for everyone, the whole sins of the world. He says here, who can forgive sins but God alone? Praise God, He does. At once He perceived in His spirit, that's that Holy Ghost spirit that we've got when we're saved, that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And He said to them, why do you raise such questions in your hearts? First, it started in their hearts. Guard your heart, the Bible tells us over and over again. For out of it floweth the issues of life. If your spring is all rotten and full of poison, when you pump it out of a well and pump it in your house, you're going to get poisoned. If the spring of our heart and mind is all just poisoned with sin, it's going to flow forth into what we do and what we fix our minds on and what we're going to go to, what we're heading to. It changes if we're going to live in heaven someday or a place called hell. It changes our destiny. Guard your heart, the Bible says. Guard your mind. Guard what we're doing. Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? There's an old hymn when Ashley used to work at a nursing facility for Alzheimer's patients. There's this old preacher there, and he wrote a hymn called How About Your Heart? What a beautiful song it is by Benny Triplett, if you ever look it up. But part of that line says, how about your heart? He says, people often see what's outside, but Jesus really knows you, and He sees the inside. If there was a window in your heart, what would it look like? The Pharisees, they love to get those long tassels and look all pretty on the outside. They'd make scrunnle their faces up and just look pitiful when they was pretending to fast. But Jesus sees through that. Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? How about your heart this morning? How is it? Jesus knows. He really knows. It says here, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and take your mat and walk? Praise God, which is easier for Jesus to say? Either one. He can do it all. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's Jesus. He's the Word of God made flesh. Your sins are forgiven, he says. He says that to us too, don't he? He'll say it to anybody that comes into him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Oh, go to him, he says here. Stand up and take your mat and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he says to the paralytic, I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home. He healed him. Not only spiritually, he forgave him. The man was in need of forgiveness. He healed him physically. He said, get up. Notice here, he said, Son of Man, Jesus, God Almighty, came here. Came down from heaven. Jesus wasn't a created being. God didn't just create him. He was eternally begotten of the Father. God, very God. 100% God, 100% man. He came down to heaven and was born. We celebrate on Christmas. He says here, Son of Man. That reminds us of that. But it also reminds us over in the book of Daniel, chapter 7. The Lord tells us in verse 13, as I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being, as this translation says, or the others say, Son of Man. I saw one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he became to the Ancient One. He came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. That's Jesus. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship. To all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. That's Jesus. That's the Son of Man. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away. His kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he showed us he came down from heaven, not riding in the white horse to conquer and destroy when he came to this earth, but he came in a lowly manger and lived without anything. What possessions did Jesus have? The Son of Man does not have a place to lie his head, as he told someone when they said, I'll give up everything and follow you. It costs something to follow the Lord. It costs something. It costs ourselves. If you're not going to take up your cross and follow him, Jesus said, you're not worthy of me. When you take up your cross in the ancient days, they knew that meant your life's done. You ain't going back. Rome's job was to kill you if you had a cross. Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. Follow him. Lay it all behind. Lay everything aside. Put him first. His dominion is everlasting. It's worth it. It shall not pass away. His kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. God gives Jesus dominion. He's the King of Kings. He's reigning right now as King in our hearts. The kingdom of God is among us. Are we living as kingdom people? He is the Son of Man, he says here. That is a prophecy fulfilled, and it's true to this very day. We serve a risen Savior. He's the Jesus, the King of Kings. He said, which is easier? Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and take your mat and walk? Well, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority. Just as we read in Daniel, where God prophesied of his authority he would give to Jesus, his Son, who was given to him. The earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home. Verse 12, he stood up and immediately took the mat. It went out before all of them. Notice here, when Jesus told him to do that, he forgave his sins first. Then he told him, get up. That man could have just said, no, I don't believe you can do this, Jesus. I'm just going to lay here and be pitiful and bask in self-pity. But he didn't. He stood up and immediately took the mat. He immediately obeyed the Lord. We need to immediately obey the Lord. Do you believe that he can heal you of sin? The Bible tells us in Hebrews, let us lay aside that sin that doth so easily beset us. Have you got a sin in your life that's easily besetting? It's drawing you away from the Lord, a thorn in your side that the devil takes his arrows and shoves right in there, brothers and sisters. Jesus can set us free. He'll set anybody free. Are you bound by anything? He stood up and immediately took the mat. He's telling us, get up, "Stand up as the people of God. Live for me. Take up your cross. Follow me." That man immediately stood up. Do you believe him? Do you believe Jesus? Do you trust him? He took the mat, went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God. Praise God. Notice here it says they were all amazed. Even the ones that question in their hearts, they were amazed. Not only that, they glorified God. Are we glorifying God? The Bible tells us over and over to glorify God in your mortal bodies. They glorified God for the wonderful thing he did with the cross. How many of them was there? None of them. We saw the only apostle there was John. When it gets tough, don't turn away. Stay close to Jesus. So that they were amazed and glorified God. When all the crowds went away from Jesus one day, he told his disciples, he said, "Will you too go away?" Peter said, "No, Lord. Where else are we going to go? Who else will we go to? There's none that have the words of life but you." He was amazed and glorified God. Amazed. We hear about the word amazed. Sometimes we tell something, well, that place has got some amazing food, or it's some amazing weather. We forget what the word amazing really means. It really means to be just truly taken back. When we read the Bible, the translators were very, very careful in how they translated and what words they picked. We need to really understand amazed is just taken back. Like that hymn says, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene." He says they were all amazed and glorified God. Are we amazed at the wonderful works God's doing? Or are we numb to it? Be amazed. Stand amazed at what God is doing, what he has done, and what he's going to do. We can go ahead and thank God tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, for tomorrow, what you're going to do, because it's amazing. Are we living in him? Are we seeking him? The devil will want to put all kind of blinders on you. Well, we got to be looking toward the light. Don't be looking in the darkness where your eyes get used to the dark, but look into Jesus. He says, "I am the light." Look towards the light. He is the light of the world, and we're to be a city reflecting that light on a hill, he says here. So that they were all amazed. Not only that, they glorified God. They did something about their amazing, being amazed. If we're amazed at what God's doing and his wonderful glory, let's do something about it. Let's glorify God. How do we glorify God? By living for him. Glorifying him in our mortal bodies. How we live, what we say, what we speak, what we fix our minds on, we got to glorify God. We got to ask ourselves, is this doing something to glorify God? Every day, every moment, we ought to be doing this. Is what I'm doing this very present moment glorifying God, or is it putting him to shame? Is it building up the Holy Ghost, or is it quenching the Spirit? What's it doing? Whatever task we put ourselves at hand, is this going to make me sanctified and holy and lead me closer to God, or am I going to start backing away? That's what we need to ask. They glorified God. He knows our hearts, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Praise God. Had never seen anything like that, but that was just the beginning. We're just in chapter 2 of Mark, the wonderful things that Jesus is going to do. Wonderful things. I mean, that was in Matthew 9 and Luke 5, early in the Gospels. That was just the beginning of the wonderful things Jesus did. John tells us that there's not enough room to write the things that Jesus did while he's here on this world. There's not enough room to write it down. He did so many things. The gospel is just a tiny little taste of what Christ did while he's on this world. And we can look around at the wonderful things that he's doing to this very day, right now, in our lives. Jesus healed the paralytic. They cared about him. His friends, him four friends, cared about him. They loved him enough to lead him to Jesus. They loved him enough, cared about him enough to tell him and say, "I know who can heal you." First off, notice here, he needed a Savior. Before he could, any of the healing took place, he needed healed of his eternal destiny. He needed to be healed of his sin-sick soul. He said, "Your sins, son, your sins are forgiven," because he put his faith in him. That's what Jesus tells his son, "Your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven." If you're already saved, glory to God, praise God when we're saved. Isn't that wonderful? The wonderful gift of God. We need to be looking around at people that don't know Jesus, people that's paralyzed, dead, and trespasses and sins, and let's do what we can to lead them to the Lord. It's eternity's at stake here, all around us. Do we love those people enough to tell them the truth of the gospel, that God loves them? It's a good news. Gospel, they say, is translated good news. It's not sad news. We got a wonderful news to tell the nations of Jesus and his righteousness. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you, First and foremost, how about your heart this morning? Is it right with God? Or is it just all mired up with sin and wickedness, like an old muddy stagnant pond? What's it flowing out of your life? Father, you tell us in your word that you told the children of Israel, you search for a man, you search for a person to stand in the gap, Lord, between the wrath to come and the nation. But Lord, tragically back then you found none. Lord, don't let that be the case today. Help us, Lord, to be the people to stand in the gap, Lord. Watchmen prepared with your word to bring the good news to those around us, Lord. Each and every one of us knows somebody that doesn't know the Lord. Take a moment and pray. Pray for somebody. Ask the Lord how you may be a witness to that person, that their soul may be saved and they can be part of the family of God and know his love and peace. Search us, O God, know our hearts. Try us to know our thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in us. And lead us in thy way everlasting, O Lord. Just as you told the old prophet, you're calling his name, Lord. He said, here I am, send me, Lord. Here we are, send us to do thy will. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.